Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina al-Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathira. Amma ba'du, faqad qala tabaraka wa ta'ala fi shani habibi inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alihi wa sallimu تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى: إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected elders and brothers, as many of us are very well aware that we are currently in this month of Zulqa'dah, and this is that period or that time of the year that is famously known as the season of Hajj. Many of whom we may know of, family, friends, associates, or someone that we know of, their relatives, their family, that will be embarking, has already went also, has already left for this once in a life journey of Hajj. First flights were out this past week, and then one flight is going out, and then that hype of that Hajj is settling in, that excitement, those that will be leaving, how they will now start packing up, one meal is being prepared and put away. And those of us that have been for Hajj also, we will go and we will advise them the do's, the don'ts, maybe one two tips here and there, how to get, you know, how to make it easy, etc. So this is that period of the year where those that are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go as a delegation on behalf of the entire ummah to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, whether a person is going or whether a person is staying, we find that this period of the year, it is for every ummati across the world. Whether we are in Makkah Sharif, whether we are in Medina Sharif, whether we are here in South Africa, in Durban, or in whichever part of the world, this is that time of the year when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the lifestyle and the way of life of that one individual, that one personality, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Today when the world wants to put up a reminder, wants to remember someone, then we will find that portraits are put up in museums, frames and photos are put up, statues are erected in that person's name, and it becomes a form of a place where maybe people who are taking their lunch break, who are working nearby, they will come to that place and they will maybe, some will even notice the statue, some won't even worry about the statue. Those that are passing by, they will look at the statue, they will comment on the features of that person. But all in all, what that person was, what he stood for, what was it, what was his purpose, everything is, it means nothing. So this is how the world remembers someone. But when it comes to Islam, when it comes to Deen, when it comes to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind the people, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is different. As one of our senior ulama ikram mentioned, that the whole purpose was just to remember the person. And in this case, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, then when a person will go for Umrah or for Hajj, probably that was the purpose, then we will probably see a statue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam holding a knife over a figure of Ismail alayhi salam. But this is not the case, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He reminds someone, when He reminds the ummah about a person, then it is not just a person and what he had done, but it is a reminder of the life lessons that were taught in the life of that person. How we as an ummah can look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and what sacrifices and what lessons He has taught us to inculcate it within our lives and to carry on and move forward, live our lives in that way. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. The Quran Sharif mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, one man on his own, one individual, one personality. But the sacrifices and the way of life and what he had put forth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll take an entire ummah to do what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, Ibrahim, submit yourself, aslam to the Rabbil Alameen. I have submitted my entire being, my head to toe, everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My entire life. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mawati lillahi rabbil alameen. My living, my dying, every moment of my life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that period or that time of the year wherein we are reminded of two shining qualities in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One was his submission to every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just the command of Allah ta'ala, but every hint of a desire that came from the side of Allah ta'ala. We know that every instruction that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam throughout his entire life, we only know of four or five maybe tests that he had went through, but he had gone through many, many tests in his life. And every instruction that was given to him either came directly from Allah Ta'ala or via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ibrahim, this is what Allah Ta'ala is instructing you to do. However, when it came to the greatest of tests, the greatest of sacrifices that he had to make, where he had to take that knife and place it on the neck of his son Ismail alayhi salam, that came in the form of a dream. A dream that could be interpreted in so many different ways. Never was it ever permissible to slaughter any innocent soul, or to put any innocent soul to death in any sharia, in any age. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not an ordinary person. He could have thought of so many different excuses and made so many interpretations. But he was the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And he was not an ordinary Nabi also. He was amongst those who are classified in the Quran Sharif as Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. Those very, very high status, his stature and his status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was extremely high. Those very Jaleelul Qadr Anbiya'is, he fell under that category. The greatest Nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. He didn't need any command and any instruction, just that hint of a desire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knew that this is what Allah ta'ala wants me to do. Everything put back, but the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. So this is the first quality, submission to every single desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two is total dependence, is yaqeen, is total reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the incident when he was a young boy and he was thrown into the fire. And the Quran Sharif mentions it in great detail also. وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Then mention to them about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنَّ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ. Why are you worshipping something? His father was a manufacturer of idols. So the factory of idols was running from his very house. And from the time he was a young boy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already put that flame of iman, that seed of iman in his heart. Imagine in the entire world, this was the only young boy that had iman. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala wants to preserve iman, what a great lesson. He doesn't need us. Allah ta'ala doesn't need us to spread hidayat for the iman of others. We are the ones that need to be put forward for this one. So he was a young boy, he was the only one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with iman. And he speaks to his father. That, oh my father, why are you worshipping something? It cannot hear, it cannot see, it cannot benefit, it cannot harm. It is absolutely useless. La ta'budi shaitan, it is just a plot of shaitan. Inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahman. The azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come upon you. But as we know, the father didn't pay heed, he didn't take a lesson. Arafibun anta an aliyati. Are you bad-mouthing our gods, Ibrahim? La arjumannak, we will stone you, we will punish you. So he waited for an opportunity where he could convince the entire village folk of the foolishness that they were involved in. And this opportunity had come wherein he had gone out for some celebration, some festival, and he makes an excuse. He is the only one that remains behind in the village. And when everyone was out, as we know, he took that axe or the tool and he went to that house where they used to keep all their idols, and one by one he began to smash it into pieces, bits and pieces. He leaves the biggest idol, he hangs the axe around the neck of the biggest idol and he goes away. Now the question a person may ask is that why did he leave the biggest idol standing? The biggest of their gods, they can come back, they can still worship that one idol, the biggest of the leader of all the gods, they still have him intact, so they can still come back and worship him. But look at the hikmat and the intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam from the time he was a small child. He hated these idols. And he always mentioned growing up that one day I'm going to break all your idols. So the opportunity came, the desire was to break everything. One idol smashed, one smashing one, the next one, the next one. That ego is coming out. However, it is not what I desire. My desire is that I must walk out from this temple, from this place, where there is not even one idol standing. But that is, the purpose of this is not to follow, not to act on my desire. The goal to smash those idols is to teach the people or to point out their foolishness, that what they were involved in. And intelligence or the hikmat demands, in order to point it out, you at least need one or a few idols remaining. And his intelligence, his hikmat, he left the biggest one. Nevertheless, cutting the long story short, these people came, they came back straight to worship their idols, and everything is destroyed into bits and pieces. So they put two and two together. فَأْتُوا بِي عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ سَمِعْنَا فَتَيَّذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَوْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. But who did this for our idols? So he mentioned, no, there is one youngster, he always speaks bad about our idols. فَأْتُوا بِي عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ سَمِعْنَا فَتَيَّذْكُرُهُمْ. أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِعَلْيَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Ibrahim, did you do this to our idols? Did you break it? Did you destroy our idols? So what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did, he had left the biggest one standing. So he pointed to the biggest one and he mentions Kabir Muhammad. There's the biggest one lying at the standing of here. First I do, ask him, in kanu yantikun. In other words, what he tried to prove to them was that these idols, it cannot even save itself. It cannot even save its fellow idols. How is it going to save you from any harm? How is it going to render you any benefit? It cannot see, it is absolutely useless. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُوسِ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَوْلَىٰ يَنْتِقُونَ. So they felt ashamed. But what they mentioned, it cannot speak. What he replies, أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْءٌ وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. That means you are worshipping something that cannot speak, it cannot harm, it cannot listen, it cannot hear, it cannot do anything. It is absolutely useless. أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Look at the expression that the Quran Sharif uses. When a person is highly annoyed with someone, something annoyed you, and how when a person will go and he will mention, in our words, to hell with you and whatever it is. This is the expression, is as though Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning, أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. To hell with you and your idols. So what they decide, لَقَدْ يَكُمْ وَانْسُرُوا عَلِيَهَكُمْ. We need to avenge our gods and burn this demon in this young boy. It is mentioned in the riwayat, for 1 month they prepare the fire. They prepare this fire, people from the entire village, they used to come, and they used to contribute to the fire in the form of fuel, wood, etc. Anything to increase the fire. People from the neighboring villages, they used to come. Those that were sick, they were ailing. So they used to come and they used to contribute also with this, that we are helping to avenge our God, so maybe we will get some cure and shifa also. For 1 month, they prepared that fire. For 1 week, they kindled that fire to bring up that heat of that fire. So such was the severity of the heat of this fire. And so high were the flames of this fire that it is mentioned if a bird used to fly overhead, it would get burned and it would fall into the fire. So they couldn't go near the fire. Now they began to think to themselves, how are we going to throw this young boy Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire? But now wherever there's an obstruction, then there's an obstacle to go forward in doing something evil, then shaitan is always there. So he comes in the form of an old man and he gives them the idea of a catapult. And for the first time now, a catapult is being built. And on that specific day that they decided that this is the day that we will throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into the fire, on that day the entire village folk came out to watch the scene. From the nearby villages, the king Namrud, he himself was present also. Everyone came out. Now this person, this young boy, is going to now be avenged. Our gods are going to be avenged. He's going to be burnt. In the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was taken, he was strapped onto this catapult. The malaika are watching, Allah Ta'ala is watching. The malaika come to Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, what is happening to your Khalil? Allah Ta'ala mentions that, oh Jibreel, if you want, you can go see what you want to do. You want to help, go and see what you want to do. Immediately Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down. Ibrahim alayhi salam is on that catapult. Ya Ibrahim, alaka haja. Is there anything that I can do for you? In other words, we will take you right now and we will keep you in a safe location. These people won't even get near you. You will be totally, completely away from them, safe and secure. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, oh Jibreel, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you? Or did you come on your own? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that, oh Ibrahim, I came on my own. With the permission of Allah Ta'ala, but I came on my own. Amma anta fala, O Jibreel, I don't need you. I don't need you, O Jibreel. He is the one I did it for. Whatever I have done it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows my condition and I'm prepared to face whatever it is. Hasbi Allah, Allah alone is sufficient for me. You just have to utter this one statement, Hasbi Allah. And the direct command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. That, oh fire, become peaceful, become serene, become extremely peaceful for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was flung into the fire, the only thing that got burnt were the shackles or the ropes that were binding him. He spent 40 days in the fire, and after 40 days, he realized that nothing is happening to him, he was allowed to come out. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions that the only statement on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as he was being thrown into the fire was Hasbi Allah, Hasbi Allah, that only Allah is sufficient for. I need nothing, I need no one else, I only need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine one youngster, but he stood up against an entire nation for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what reliance, what yaqeen, that iman, that yaqeen, that belief, that total dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will learn it from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was a young man. And this was his principle. He lived these principles throughout his entire life until the 180 plus years that he lived. In fact, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his son Ismail alayhi salam and the young wife Hajra alayhi salam and to leave them in Makkah Sharif, firstly, his entire life he had made dua, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, that, oh Allah, bless me with pious offspring. When he was approximately 86 years of age, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. 1.5 years later, Allah Ta'ala instructs him that, oh Ibrahim, take them and leave them in the desert in Makkah Sharif. Imagine at that age, we are probably grandparents to a baby at that age. And what a bond is created between grandparent and grandchild. What bond must have been created between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his only child Ismail alayhi salam. But everything was just pushed aside for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He travels all the way from Palestine, from Syria, and he comes to the burning heat of the Arabian Peninsula. And that exact spot where the Zamzam well is located. I remember when we were small and we used to go to Makkah Sharif, then you could go down those stairs and you could view that entire Zamzam, that well, how the water used to be sucked out, that mechanism. And the person, there were so many taps up there, you could go and bath yourself and see find people putting the Zamzam water over their entire bodies. So on that exact spot, he leaves Hajra alayhi salam, he leaves his son Ismail alayhi salam, and he turns around and to walk away. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave them there and come back immediately. There was no, he leaves them with a little bit dates, a little bit water, nothing, not even a structure inside, not even the Baytullah was structured at that time. It was only sand and stone and mountains all around. It wasn't even on the route of travelers. The route of the travelers, they used to pass by miles away behind mountains. So it was totally, totally isolated. He leaves them there and he begins to walk away. Hajra alayhi salam, she follows him for 3 miles and then she realizes that this is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He won't do anything for nothing. She turns around, she comes back to Ismail alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam continues. He is also a father. He is also a husband. He also has a heart. He is also a human being. When he reaches a spot where now he is in a valley or behind a mountain, out of sight of Hajar alayhi salam, then he falls down on his knees and he raises his hands towards the skies. And he makes a dua, Rabbana, inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri zar. That, oh Allah, on your command, I have taken my young wife, I have taken my infant child. And I have left them in a place where there is not even a blade of grass. Ghayri zar. Nothing, absolutely nothing there. But again, look at his yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will say that this person left them to die over. But the yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all the odds being against him and his family members, what dua he makes? وَرْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Oh Allah, you provide for him the best of provisions. Had we been there, we would have probably laughed at him. That you are leaving your child and your family to die, and you are going and you are asking to bring some crops and to bring some vegetation in a place where there is not even a blade of grass, where it's just a desert. The closest city is miles and miles, kilometers, hundreds of kilometers away. How are they going to survive? But his yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that reliance, that dependence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will take care of them. Allah has commanded me, Allah will do it. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Oh Allah, you provide for them the best of provisions, the best of vegetation. What darud and what pain must have been in the heart of this father when he had made this dua. What a powerful dua this must have been. That the Quran Sharif declares, يُجْبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رِزْقًا مِنْ لَدُنْ. That the fruits, the vegetation, the crops, and the provision of the entire world will be transported and exported into Makkah al-Mukarramah till the day of Qiyamah, on the acceptance of the dua of Ibrahim Khalil. If you look at Makkah Sharif, whether it is Hajj season, whether it is Ramadan, Rabiul Awwal, or whichever part of the year, you will find that Makkah Sharif is busy, it is bustling, the streets are full. The Haram Sharif is brimming to capacity all year round. But never in the history of Makkah Sharif have we ever heard of a shortage of water, a shortage of crops, a shortage of vegetation, fruits, a shortage of food, of anything. Any person coming from any city, any village, any part, any area, any spot in the entire world, any country, we go to Makkah Sharif, you will find a variety of our own South African choice. Our own South African chocolates, chips, everything. The people are coming from America, from Canada, from UK, from whichever part of the world, you will find everything is there. An area which had absolutely nothing at one point. It had nothing, absolutely nothing. It's a desert, nothing even grows in Makkah Sharif. But it is a city that has the most amount of things in the entire world. It caters for the entire world. If it is not the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his efforts behind it, his sacrifice, his submission, then my respected Allah, what else can I do? My time is up. But this is the two great, great lessons we learn from the life side of Ibrahim alayhi salam. His total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that these two qualities is the cornerstone of what makes a Muslim. What it means to be a Muslim. One is that total dependence, reliance and yaqeen in Allah ta'ala. And after that, that total submission to every instruction, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what makes a Muslim, and this is what we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how to live as a Muslim. The Quran Sharif mentions, huwa sammakum al-muslimin. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one that has named you Muslim. Rabbana waja'alna muslimin ilaka wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan. When him and Ismail alayhi salam were building the Kaaba Sharif, what dua they make? That, oh Allah, make us Muslims. He didn't ask that Allah make us Nasara and Yahud and all these other sects. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua that, oh Allah, make me a Muslim. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. And oh Allah, bring about from our progeny, meaning from my progeny, Ismail al-Islam's progeny, not from Ishaq al-Islam's progeny. The Adam al-Islam came from there, from from our progeny, my progeny, Ismail al-Islam's progeny. Bring about an ummah that will be a Muslim ummah. That is us. وَبَعْثُهُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمِنْهُمْ. And amongst them, send to them a Rasul that will come to them. He will be a rahmat and a mercy to mankind. And that is all the result of the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah had made us from this ummah. Imagine the best of ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam knew he made du'a that bring the best of ummah from this progeny, and Allah made us from that best. Ibrahim alayhi salam made du'a that sent to them Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we got Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The greatest thing we can ever have is our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what we owe to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is du'as. Now it is for us to live like Muslims. Submission and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make du'a to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala make us true Muslims, make us true ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.